Next slide. Thank you very much. In this slide, Honorable Chair and members, you can see that the department final budget was 65.4 billion, and in total, the department was only able to spend 64.9 billion, and indicating an under expenditure of 530 million. And we will have the breakdown, but if you look per program, administration sitting at underspending of 82 million, ITP at 18.6 million, rail transport 28 million, road transport 98, civil aviation 18, and then maritime 32, and finally the public transport at 243.7 million. Then in the next slide, we just give a brief summary of the reasons for the underspending per program, starting first with the administration at 82.4 million. And this is mainly on the items such as compensation of employees and is furthermore on the goods and services. And this is in terms of projects such as automation tools for internal audit and then slow spending on the document management solution and the termination of the track project at the University of Stellenbosch. And then furthermore, contributing to the underspending is the development due to less training and travel and subsistence because most of the meeting were conducted virtually. If you look at ITP, it's 18.7 million. And I'll continue with the rail transport where the underspending is 28.2 million and is also similarly on goods and services such as the appointment of the Housing Development Agency on behalf of PRASA for the in the city of Cape Town. In terms of the, this is in terms of the implementation, the department committed itself to enter into a service level agreement with the Housing Development Agency to attend to the establishment of temporary residential areas for the resettlement of households residing in the Plaza Railway Reserve. However, there was a delay in the signing of the SLA. Other contributing factors on the underspending is for the rail economic regulator and the National Rail Bill. I move away to road transport, where the program is underspent by 98.3 million, and this is mainly due to the transfer for the Road Traffic Enforcement Agency for the implementation of ARTO. Members will recall that the implementation of ARTO was delayed because of the judgment that stopped the implementation of the ARTO program rollout. On the civil aviation, we have the 18.3 million, and this is also compensation of goods and employees and the goods and services like the National Aviation Transformation Strategy, the correction factor for AXA and the ATNS, as well as other projects. If I move to maritime transport, where we are sitting at the underspending of 32.6 million and is also on goods and services, and in relation to the less anticipated expenditure on the oil pollution prevention project, and where sometimes internal capacity was used for other projects. On public transport, the underspending there is 243 million, mainly is on transfers and subsidies. And on transfers is less intake on the taxi recapitalization, which is demand-driven. The taxi scraping project is a demand-driven wherein qualifying taxi operators decided when and how they will deliver their old taxis for scraping. And then the department is, as the minister has indicated, that there will be a cutoff date to in order to encourage the taxi owners submit the qualifying taxis. And this slide is just showing us the environment that was implemented in order to address the overspending and underspending in other programs. You can see that funds were shifted across all the programs of 101 million, and mainly for the interest of 61 million, for the Ndora payment transfers of 1.6 million and building and other structures of 38 million. Next slide, please. This is just a detailed explanation of the environment. We can proceed to the next slide. And then we also applied for rollovers of 7 million, and this is for the procurement of the bulk IT and hardware refresh, as well as the payment for the housing development agency, which they've been, these rollovers have been approved and are available in the current financial year to proceed with those projects. On the irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are sitting at a balance of 118 million on fruitless and wasteful at 42 million and on unauthorized expenditure at 1.3 million. Which is has been accumulated, is just balances is been accumulated since the previous year. Next slide. The details of the irregular expenditure are as follows. You can see that we have got a total of 23 cases amounting to 119, and there was some which were sent to National Treasury for condonement, and then you can see that disciplinary steps have been implemented in some of the cases, and some are still awaiting the reports by the end of the financial year. But just to share with the members that some of the reports have now been approved and the disciplinary process will now be implemented. Next slide. Yeah, this is a detail of what I presented in the previous slide, more explanation. Next slide. And then this is the irregular expenditure under assessment, just to touch on them. The one is in relation to procurement of the laptops, and the other one was in relation of cleaning contract, and the other one was the other irregularities on procurement, and the bigger one is in relation to the SIU report of 24 million, which the ADG has reflected on. Where we are waiting, there was the waiting for the tribunal of SIU to finalize the matter. On fruitless, those are our cases where there was a 68 million as the opening balance, and there was additional cases for 18 million, and then 24 cases were transferred to the debt, of which the department is recovering those particular amounts, and now we are sitting a balance of 42,000. These cases relate to 29 transactions that we are dealing with. At a high level, this is our income statement. You can see that the statement of financial performance, which states our revenue as well as our expenditure, and then the surplus of 581 million. As indicated because of the under expenditure. The next slide then is our statement on financial position, showing that the department have a total assets of 9.7 billion, and that is the statement of the balance sheet of the Department of Transport. Next slide. This is just in the statement of the financial position. You can see that there is a 6.3 to 7 million increase in the financial year, was mainly due to the prepayment for the scraping of the taxi and advances to the government communication information system increases as a result of the COVID-19. And we also have a decrease in the bank overdraft from 1.6 to 731 million. Next slide. That is basically the summary of the annual financial statement, Chairperson and members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO, and thanks, Chair. That's our presentation in terms of the annual report and the financials, and I'll hand over back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You did well with time. You saved me 3 minutes. Which is a boxing ring. You can knock out somebody boxing round. Colleagues, moving away from the boxing round, there is a presentation by DOT, and I would like to invite your comments, your questions, and your input. Once more, reminder, observations, recommendations, where possible, if you have any. I do see Honorable Ketamabala Stole. For now, also I see Honorable Pete May, who is Madam Mnier. For now, let us take those two in that order. Honorable Sitole, followed by Honorable May.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Mang. First of all, Chair, I have been disappointed because it seems that the Department of Transport, they are just cut and pasting their reports. If you check the understanding are the threads of what happened long time ago, not even last year or less of last year, in years. So I'm very disappointed, Chairperson. And another thing, Chairperson, that is actually concerning me is the vacancy. If you check, Chairperson, the Department of Transport, they don't have a DG. The whole DG, they don't have. Only acting DG. And then the Sandral have, they don't have CEO. The SAMHSA, they don't have CEO. RTIA, they don't have CEO, CFO, CPO, and the auditor executive. And when you check the PASA, the DLCA and Sandral, they fail to achieve their KPI. So I'm trying to check, Chairperson, because the understanding is happening at administration, the road transport, the railway transport, the military transport, civic aviation, and public transport. And then now they have applied for the rollovers. I'm trying to check, Chairperson, is that the real department that they supposed to serve, to do service delivery to our communities? We are talking about potholes all over the country. We are talking about unfinished workmanship of the department, which they are failing for years now to complete their workmanship. Now I'm trying to check it, Honorable Chairperson, because if you are talking about the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is a norm from this department. So I'm trying to check, Chairperson, because the DM is present. When are they going to fill all those vacancies? And what I'm trying to check, the consequence management from the department, because the department is failing. We have recommended lot of recommendations, but nothing has been implemented from the department. Why are they taking us so... They are not taking us so seriously. So now I'm trying to check, Chairperson, are they really want to work with us? Are they really want to implement our recommendation? If they say so, they must give us the tangible target, because they are even failing their target. So I'm worried, Chairperson, that we are just having a department that is actually failing our communities, and it is failing ourselves, because when we do this recommendation, when we communicate to our communities, how are we going to say, what are we going to say? They are failing dismal. All our entities are failing dismal, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you very much for just listening to my concern. Thank you.
Honorable May, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. We always say we want to move from road to rail. I live in the Eastern Cape, but I haven't seen any improvements over the last 3 years. If you look at the state of PRASA, is there any hope that the private sector will invest in PRASA? I read an article about the railway line between Pretoria and Durban. I think it's one of the best in South Africa, where the private sector was not interested in investing money. One of the reasons the government wants to overrule the private sector. The private sector will only invest if they can make money. My question, are you still hopeful that the private sector will invest in PRASA? Let's hope so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sithole and Honorable May. I didn't indicate to the DM. I apologize. Anytime you'd like to contribute, please indicate. Mention was made of you now, but I will still take it back to the acting DG, but DM, you are most welcome at any time if you'd like to come in there. I really didn't see you were still in the meeting, but feel free anytime. Acting DG?
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the honorable members for raising the issues, Chair. And I think for me, just starting with the issue raised by Honorable May, with the issue of movement from road to rail. Our focus as government in terms of the policy pronouncement that we have made, Chair, is really talk to the issue of concessioning. And how do you then deal with that? But key focus really being more towards the freight rail, especially because that's where you want to move a number of goods from road to rail, and working together with PRASA. So with Transnet, I've already indicated that we are looking at the issue around branch lines and how the process of slot that has been published by Transnet. And secondly, on the PRASA element, one key element of us doing that is that PRASA is really working very hard towards the opening of the 10 priority corridors that have been pronounced on across all the regions. But secondly, we will be moving in line with the policy, the white paper, to then check in areas where the private sector wants to operate within PRASA. We have been approached by a number of entities and say how do they work with government in that particular space. And we are obviously, because PRASA is the implementing agent, we then hand over to them to deal with that. Moving to the issue that have been raised by Honorable Ketamabala, the issue of the vacancy rate, I think we did allude to that we are not happy. We have been making inroads, but what to indicate is to then say that some of the vacancies we then fill, you ended up filling it with mostly internal people, which then makes that kind of a reversal. But obviously with the work that we are doing and some of those posts that we have advertised, we believe that when we come to the portfolio committee to come and make some presentation in the coming quarters, we'll have some improvement. But we did indicate that, for example, the DDG for rail transport has been one of those three DDGs that has been filled, and is a post that has not been filled there for years, including the DDG for ITP. We believe that we have been making inroads together with the post of the DG, which it was advertised and the process, and we'll obviously make sure that we convey the message to our principal to make sure that that happens. And we're working together with the part of both the entities where there's no CEO to ensure that the stability happens in that particular space, including PRASA. There was a process where the post was advertised, and obviously the board is seized with that particular responsibility, inclusive of Sandral and others. And we will be able to ensure that in this particular year, those are implemented. And those are some of the issues that has even been raised by the Office of the Auditor General as a message to the Executive Authority on how to deal with the issues of implementation. We believe the issues of the rollovers that we have applied for, it will be a contribution, obviously, in terms of the work that we want to do. the minister has made a pronouncement, especially on the 8th of August, on the Valazonge program, which is really a undertaking to then say at a high level as the Department of Transport, considering that this is a concurrent function that cuts across. How do we, obviously working with Sandwan, work with other spheres of government, and we've had engagement with provinces, we have a coordinated program, we're working together to be able to then make sure that we assist in the filling of potholes. And what we have done, we have actually launched two apps together with Sandral, one being an app on the strategic network that has already been loaded so that when potholes are identified, we then report them. We then, through Sandral, link that to the road authority apps to make sure that there are those review in terms of engagement. So we believe we are really working hard. The last issue that I want to reflect on, Chair, by Honorable Kedoma, the issue of consequence management. Even Auditor General in their report, they were able to make a realize of a positive statement to then say, even though they still felt we haven't done well on the consequence management, especially on the issues that were repetitive over the years, but as the Department of Transport, we have really moved, and these few matters on the table, we have already put measures in place, and we see ourselves really in the next engagement of the audit plan be able to really make inroads in dealing with some of those particular issues. And we'll continuously obviously want to work closely with the portfolio committee to then provide our reports on a quarterly basis on how are we progressing with some of these issues, Chair, that have been mentioned. And then, Chair, the Deputy Minister wants to add some of the issues that have been raised, I'll then hand over back to you, Chair, and then the DM for the, any concluding remarks. Thanks, Chair.
I see you are delegating upwards. Thank you, Acting DG. Colleagues, are there any further questions or engagements on the DOT presentation? Going, gone. All right. On that note, then we will appreciate and thank the presentation. I do think that we've been at it for quite a long time. I want to suggest a 5 minute comfort break. Then we can come back at exactly 16 minutes past 12, and we will then take the presentation by Ms. Carol Sehu. Do we have next? Samsa or Prasa?
No, Prasa first, and then Samsa will be the last presentation for the day. Okay. The Prasa delegation had to attend the Railway Safety Conference afterwards.
Are they available after 5 minutes, though?
I will have to check, because in terms of the program, we were only due to start at 12:30 because of a longer comfort break. So,
I think the longer one won't help us, but maybe let's take the longer comfort break. Maybe I'm being too hard. Let's take a break, call it a comfort stroke lunch break. We then reconvene at 12:30. And we will start straight with Prasa, and we'll follow into Samsa. The meeting stands adjourned.
Recording stopped.
Ms.
Mr. Mamu, I know that the board members are already in the meeting. I'm just waiting for the acting group CEO and the person who will be sharing the presentation on his behalf. I don't see them online yet, unless they joined when I was not looking. Oh, Mr. Emeran is here.
All right. I see a hand up there of Hisham Emeran. Let's hear you out. Yes, you had your hand
yes.
up, or you wanted us to recognize that you are here.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. As you've indicated, my name is Hisham Emeran, the Acting Group CEO for PRASA. So Chair, I'm here. I will take your guidance and that of the committee when I'm given the opportunity to present
right.
on our side. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much. There are voices I didn't hear today, and I would like colleagues. Oh, that's
Chair,
a sign you are here.
Yes,
my colleague. Good afternoon.
No, thank you very much, President. And again, congratulations on your election and opposed. It means that, you know, we're not problematic. we just allow things to go on. But yes, the other chairperson, when he was still here, before he stepped aside, there was a case that we opened at the tribunal with regards to that tax that defrauded PRASA workers. And then he instructed PRASA that they needed to respond to it. I just want to check from that meeting and the meeting of today, has PRASA actually come back with the facts around that issue? If not, why not? And can they give us an update there? Because that defrauded 70 contract protection officers who work for PRASA, and he took a 1,000 rands each from them. And we opened the case at the Johannesburg Central Police Station. Umangese has instructed PRASA to do the right thing, but I see the... So I just want to check if they have... If maybe they will assist with that or not. If not, we can give them the details.
All right. You ambushed me there. But I think the acting group CEO has noted your question. And in responding to his first round of questions after the presentation, that will be the first question to respond to. But I just wanted to hear your voice, and I'm happy to hear your voice. And I'm also happy to hear that you decided.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, all right. We have also noted that Honorable Noel Chungu had a medical emergency, colleagues. She had to leave. We wish that all is well on her side. So, Acting Group CEO, I don't know if the board chairperson is here. I was told that the whole board is here. I will assume if the board chairperson is here that he is the leader of the delegation. Board Chair, are you in the meeting? All right. I don't get a response. So, Ohang Mazimela is not the board chairperson of PRASA. That one I know. All right. In the absence of the board chairperson, who I thought will start the presentation. Oh, are you here? But in a different name.
Yeah, I'm on the Lebuchan. I'm using Lebuchan.
Oh, a different name. Okay. All right.
So,
right. Chair, you are welcome, you and your board members. And I would like to invite you, therefore, to start this presentation by Prasa. Thank you so much. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. The Prasa Board is here present. We have already asked that our acting group CEO will make a presentation, and then of course we will fill in the questions where we need to fill the questions once he has done the presentation. With your permission, therefore, Chair, we could ask Hisham to walk us through the presentation, personal presentation, and of course we will then deal with the questions afterwards. Thank you very much, Hisham.
Yes, you may go ahead.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you to the Chair of the Prasa Board and the board members that are in the meeting, the officials present. Chair, I'm just waiting for the presentation to reflect, and then I will start. Chair, in the meantime, can I confirm that you are hearing me clearly, because there was some breakup on my side?
We are hearing you loud and clear.
Thank you very much, Chair.
And the presentation is going?
It is, yeah, the presentation. Can you see it, Chair? Is it on presentation mode on your side?
It is not on presentation mode, but we can see it.
Can I proceed on this basis,
Chair?
That
is not on presentation mode.
Yes, it's showing presentation.
You can proceed. Preferably presentation mode, but we can see it. So please do continue.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. If we then move to the next slide. Okay, Chair, we've just got a technical problem here where it's not moving. Can I just get one of the colleagues to reshare the presentation, please? Because it's not reflecting.
Ms. Carlson, can we try and assist, please, if possible?
Unfortunately, I cannot assist because I just received their presentation 5 minutes ago and it's too large to download from my side.
Ouch.
Okay. I've got someone else from one of my other colleagues that will try and reload. So we'll see.
Okay. Chair of the board, we received presentation 5 minutes ago. That's the first question you'll need to address when the presentation is done, Board Chairperson. Please, you've got enough time to prepare your response. Acting Group CEO, the presentation was there, but it's gone. It was moving, but it was not on presentation mode.
Okay, Chair, I'm just trying to understand it's moving on our side, but not on the screen. And I'm trying to understand where this technical glitch is coming from. On our side, it shows it's moving, but when I look at the screen.
You are on slide 3, yeah.
Yes. And
you are on slide number 3, but it's not on presentation mode.
Yeah, we We are having a problem.
If you can continue so that we save time, I will appreciate it, as long as it's moving.
Okay.
Not the best view, but let's save time and move with what you can move.
Okay. So, Chair, the presentation will cover the annual performance overview. We will look at, briefly give the financial year at a glance. The audit outcomes, we will cover that, Chair. And then give the financial performance, as well as an update in terms of the improvement in the internal controls and processes. That's what the presentation will cover. Chair, if we look at the year 2021-22, we've seen a year of continued improvement, albeit a steady improvement that we have achieved. And this is around bringing stability and to address the irregularities within PRASA. And what we have seen, Chair, is that the board has made significant strides in addressing the irregularities that we have experienced, and in particular here around the irregular expenditure. There's already an amount of 12 billion that we are looking for condonation that is being submitted to the National Treasury. And that is in the main related to the GO program, the general overhaul. Chair, with regards to the SIU investigation that was concluded, there were disciplinary hearings that were identified for 44 employees. And I can just quickly give an update on that, Chair. Of that 44, 11 of the 44 had already resigned from PRASA, and 8 of the remaining employees have been suspended. Out of that, the 33, one employee has also been dismissed, one has resigned, and 4 has received written final written warnings. There are still 13 cases that are active at this point in time and at various stages of the disciplinary process. So that's just an update in terms of the SIU and some of the consequence management that has been effected around that. Further progress was around also our, in terms of the secondary mandate at PRASA around the property side, is that the subsidiary Intersite is now a division within our corporate real estate division, where all the functions, staff functions, have now been taken over, and with Intersite remaining as a special purpose vehicle within that structure. Chair, moving forward in terms of some of the achievements that we have in 21-22, this relates now to the resumption of the corridors, the services that we have. There are 5 corridors in the main that we have brought back. This relates to the Pretoria Mabopani, where we've brought back the service with the new blue train.
Acting group CEO.
Yes.
Acting the last presentation there on our side, although it's still not very visible, is slide number 3. And I think you have moved on to another slide, and we can't see.
Yes, I am on another slide, Chair. I am. It's not moving.
On our side, we can't see the slide you are on.
Chairperson, I'm going to retract the sharing rights for Kagiso, and then we'll get somebody online to assist, if that's in order.
Chairperson,
let's try that.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable McDonald.
Yeah, if you allow me to disconnect
and please go ahead,
then I can do the presentation for you, Chairperson.
I hope you'll also move the trains, because if we can't move a presentation, we might not be able to move trains.
Your wish is my command.
anything that will assist us so that the members can see the presentation and be able to save time will be appreciated. Let's start with the one of Ms. Carol Say and see how far she goes.
I just
then we'll come to you, Honorable McGee.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes,
Honorable Ketamabal. You wouldn't do this to Mangete. No, you just do it because it's me.
I want to ask.
Go ahead.
We don't need to say. I'm for to. I look. I presentation. I go press the flag. I'm not. I'm not going to say them. Something I check on it.
No, we didn't receive it. According to Ms. Clara, so it arrived with her only 5 minutes ago. It came late, and we are battling to project it. So,
if I can just keep sharing, Honorable Chairperson, is it fair? Is it fair for us to continue with this presentation?
Chairperson, if I can get sharing, I can share it.
Colleagues, yeah, well, I can't determine the fairness thereof, but we are here, colleagues. Let us take it. We will determine along the way. Baka Biji, I see your hand. We will continue. So I ask for your indulgence, colleagues. Let us not go back. Yes, it's not on time, but it's here now. Let's try and get the best way to get it run. Honorable McDonald, let's give the Secretariat some chance to sort it out. If it all fails, we'll go back to you. Yes, Ms. Mbondo?
No, Chair, I was saying that I have shared this presentation on Sunday. So I did not know whether it did arrive to Ms. Carroll.
All right. No, it's fine. Thank you. I knew our team in Parliament will sort it out. We're going to deploy them to sort out trains, this team in Parliament. Thank you so much. Acting Group CEO, the presentation is there now. I hope you can see it on your side.
Yes.
But I think the driver is different now. It's not. Okay. You had already dealt with this slide, so you can continue.
Mm. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you to the member for loading the presentation. We do apologize for this technical glitch on our side. Chair, we're on the slide dealing with the corridor recovery. I think I was touching on the corridor that we've already brought back into service, the Pretoria Mabopane, Pretoria Saulsville, the Cape Town to Simonstown line, as well as the Cape Town to Retreat. And those four corridors were all brought back with the new train, the EMU, the blue train as we refer it to. And then the fifth corridor was the Cape Town to Belleville via Goodwood. This three initially was brought back with the existing trains, the yellow and gray trains. But we're looking at towards the end of this year having the blue trains running on that corridor as well. We're busy now with the railway safety regulator on those issues. Very quickly, Chair, looking at the safety occurrences and security occurrences on the network, generally the trend has been a downward trend, and it is very much also linked to the fact that we are running fewer trains at the moment as we're bringing back corridors. But as you can see there, both on the safety as well as security, in terms of occurrences on the network, the trend has been a downward trend. The numbers have been moving down, but as I've mentioned, linked to the fact that we are running fewer trains, and that is acknowledged. If we move to the next slide, please. So looking at the achievements, what has been very important within this period was the implementation and the ongoing implementation of the integrated security strategy. This includes both the deployment of physical security and then also the rollout of technology as the second phase, once we've got the assets back up and running, Chair. What we have certainly seen on the Mabopane corridor, where we've implemented the security interventions, that between December 2021 and March 2022, there were in fact zero incidents related to our assets in terms of theft and vandalism. So the security interventions there had proven to be a success, and it's still proving to be a success on the corridor. With regards to the new trains, you can see there in the photograph in the background, the blue train. In this period, we had 39 new trains completed. Six of them were carried over to the new financial year because of final acceptance. But as you can see in the photograph there, Honorable Chair and members, that was at the launch, in fact, of the 100th train that come out of the factory. Quite an achievement in terms of the new trains that is coming back into the PRASA network. And just in terms of these predetermined objectives, in terms of performance around those issues, there was an unqualified audit on the objectives. This is just a summary of those predetermined objectives, looking at, in total, a number of 17 performance objectives that we have. The achievement of those objectives is way below where we need to be. Three of those objectives were achieved, that is 19%. And if one looks at where that was achieved, it was mainly around, as I've indicated, around the operational safety and security, where those occurrences have been on the downward trend, and also the recovery of rail, where we've recovered the Mabopane corridor on the 17th of January. Those other objectives that were not achieved relate mainly to the issue around the new trains, the EMUs, the issue around our train set availability, the depot modernization, which are all programs that are behind schedule. Now, over and above those three that was achieved, Honorable Chair, even though it's not recorded as an achievement, there were partial successes on some of those objectives where, as I've mentioned, with the EMU, the new trains, the target was 44 for the year, where 30, as I indicated earlier, 39 and not 36 were achieved, where six are being carried over, as well as the issue around the signaling in the Western Cape, where that project was completed, except for the central line, where work could not commence because of the illegal settlements on the corridor. I think it's important to note that those corridors that I've mentioned earlier in terms of beyond Mabopane and central line are not included within these performance objectives. Carrying on with some of the achievements that we see a year, particularly around our rolling stock depots across the country, Braamfontein, Durban, Springfield in Durban as well, Pardon Island, and Salt River in Cape Town, and then East London. We are now busy with the walling, the fencing contracts at these depots. These are the depots where we are staging both existing as well as our new trains going forward. And it's important in terms of the securitization of these assets. You can see from the photographs, these projects are well underway. We are talking about a 4-meter high wall, 3 meters of solid concrete above ground level with the palisade fencing above that, and also an underdig of 600 moles of concrete below ground. These walls will also be fitted out with your CCTV, as well as your seismic cables, so that if there's any movement against these walls, it will be picked up. And this is being rolled out, and we're looking at completing these projects before the end of the current financial year. Moving along still with our securitization of the assets on walling, we're over and above the depots. We are looking at also our high-risk sites that we are busy fencing and walling off. This relates in the main to our signal relay rooms as well as our electrical substations. And that's just a demo there on the left of, you can see the size of that structure, the foundations and the walling that will be rolled out on the corridors as well as our high sites. In addition to the concrete, you've got the military-grade fencing that will also be implemented. And that those are examples at Hercules here in Pretoria, the Hercules, as well as the signal relay room that we have implemented this military-grade fencing. Some of the achievements going forward also includes KZN. Yeah, particularly we were also impacted by the floods in April, and this is ongoing work where we have already recovered sections that have completely been washed away. Here's a section between Meerbank and Reunion, where the tracks were washed away as well as the embankment had failed. If you look at the photograph on the left, you can see the electrical overhead structures already have collapsed. And the photo on the right shows the embankment that has been rehabilitated and the electrical infrastructure in place. We have since also then recovered the service on that line between Durban. We've run it through initially to Meerbank, then Reunion, and now we are running all the way through to Umbogatwini on that corridor. On some of the other corridors, we are still bringing back those services, but we are running interim diesel services to provide a rail service, particularly on the KwaMashu to Durban, as well as the Tonga to Durban. In the case of Cape Town, towards the end of July, we commenced with the services between Langa, Pinelands, and then through to Bellville via Sarepta. We are still running that without the full signaling system until the issue of the illegal settlements are dealt with. But we are running a service on the Sarepta line. And also very importantly, dealing with the issue of the legal settlements, there was the implementation protocol that was concluded by the end of March. And this is with the various ministries, levels of government at national, provincial, and local, comprising of the Departments of Transport, Human Settlement, Public Works, that are dealing with this matter, and the implementing agent being the HDA that has been tasked with the relocation of the informal settlements. And then more recently, we signed the social compact with the communities on the 9th of September, dealing with the relocation in the main of the first phase of those informal settlements. Here, just some photographs demonstrating some of the work that happened during the period under consideration. In the main, these photographs are reflecting the electrical infrastructure upgrade programs that were badly affected by the theft and vandalism. You can see there in terms of the substations at Dubai on the Naledi line. We've got the Oakmoor on the Kalfontein corridor, Kuduspoort on the Pinarspoort corridor. And you can see the substations being fitted out with new transformers. And on the far right, bottom right, you can see the rehabilitation of the overhead traction electrical equipment on the Pinarspoort corridor. And this has basically been on all the corridors in Gauteng where we needed to rebuild, rehabilitate the electrical infrastructure. This demonstrates the corridors that we were bringing back just recently. We also got the approval from the Railway Safety Regulator, where we can now run the 120 kilometer hour speed test on the De Vult line that's in Tshwane, and that is ongoing as it's part of the critical test we need to do with the new trains. As I've mentioned, the rebuilding of the corridors in Gauteng is ongoing as of the end of May 2022. And we've already, just earlier this month, we've officially launched the Pretoria-Pinarspoort corridor, where we now have full commercial services as of the 3rd of October. And those photographs were just indicating the launch that we had with the Honorable Minister launching it. That's at Pinarspoort Station. You can see the journey on the train, as well as the official launch at Pretoria Station of October Transport Month on the 3rd of October. Some further achievements relate also to our secondary mandate, looking at commercial development at Cape Town Station. And this development includes a student accommodation for 3,000 beds and also 7,000 square meters of retail space. I think it's critical for it's a critical development to ensure that you have got that sustainable living livability within your CBDs. The issue around student accommodation is quite critical within Cape Town CBD, in proximity also to your various learning institutions. And we are looking at generating revenue from this co-investment by early January 2024 in terms of this development. With regards to station progress, we see there's the various stations. These are photographs from Cape Town where stations are being rehabilitated. It's also been badly affected by the theft and vandalism. This is on Bontevel Laverstown on the Central Line corridor, as well as Esterplaat on the central section in Cape Town. And you can see the ongoing works in terms of the platform rectification, building rehabilitation that we are undertaking at these stations and across the country. This is from Gauteng on the Naledi line, Naledi to Johannesburg, where a combination of rehabilitating, refurbishing some of the infrastructure, and at our smaller halt stations in particular, that has been badly vandalized. We're also looking at alternative building technology. Here's an example of Grosvenor Station, where we're looking at the development of these containers, refurbishing and developing it to be the station facilities at these halt stations to ensure that we can quickly turn around and provide a service on these corridors. Looking at the financial year, as I've mentioned earlier, during this period, we have witnessed stability at the board level. But unfortunately, we've still seen instability at key management executive level within PROSA. That is something that needs to be addressed with a matter of urgency, and we can touch on that a bit later. I think I've shared the rebuilding program that is currently underway in the previous slides, as well as us having to look at dealing with the capacity challenges we've got to implement the capital program. The issue around the revenue, the fair revenue and performance is a huge challenge with running the limited service that we see at the moment, where the revenue, the income is way below what we had experienced in previous years, particularly before COVID. If we move to the next slide as well, please. I want to focus on the audit outcomes for 21-22, where the outcome is a disclaimer that PROSA has received for 21-22. And the AG has highlighted the following areas as the key or the root causes. I think what we have noted, and I understand there was a presentation earlier as well, is that while there has been progress on various of these areas, there were still key issues that have led to the disclaimer within PROSA. Now, within these root causes, and if I can just quickly run through them and at the same time also indicate that there's progress on these things, on many of these root causes, so that we ensure that we move into the next audit cycle, targeting these root causes and having a very clear action plan around them. The first one is that was raised by the AG was around no sustainable and comprehensive turnaround plan that will address the audit outcomes and performance shortfalls. I think the first thing that we have looked at, while there are many strategies and turnaround plans, is firstly to consolidate that into a very clear and concise document. And then secondly, the appointment of the audit task team that will also report directly to our ARC committee on a bi-weekly basis and to develop that action plan. Dealing with these specific focus areas and root causes. So the issue around the stability in the executive management, as I've mentioned, there are processes underway to fill those vacancies. both in terms of currently interviews being undertaken, as well as adverts that have gone out on some of these key positions. And so there is movement on that, and we can share, the board can also share at a later stage once there's finality on providing that stability within executive management level. A key issue that requires redress is around the capacity constraints at PRASA. And this is across the board. When you look at technical capacity, even at a supply chain management level, even at the financial performance level, that we need to address those key capacity constraints. There's a number of interventions around that, not only in terms of filling of critical vacancies, but also to bring in capacity around the capital program, to unlock that capital program and the execution thereof, both at a technical as well as SCM level. And we can share more details around that. But that is currently underway as we speak. The issue around financial processing and reconciliation, this in the main speaks to our financial discipline within PRASA that we need to deal with, looking at having the right persons within the right positions, and also dealing with where there are capacity challenges to bring in those critical skills on those aspects. I've touched on the issue of the poor procurement planning and bringing in those skills that we require, but also very importantly is looking at the preventative controls to avoid irregular expenditure. And while we have set up some of the structures around this, be it around the loss control function, we are now dealing with the issue, of course, of capacitating those structures to ensure that we can get and deal with, firstly, avoiding irregular expenditure, but also those that has already occurred, ensure that we can process that and where there's condemnation to proceed with those matters. On the financial performance, just looking at the end of March 2021 through to end of March 2022, from a group revenue point of view, you can see it has increased from 11.4 billion to 18.7 billion. That in the main relates to the capital allocation that was received during the 21-22 period. During 2021, there was a reduced capital allocation. Also, it was during the lockdown period where capital allocation was reduced. When we look at the group expenditure during this period as well, you can see there that the expenditure had reduced to 12.8 billion from 14.5 the previous year. When we look at the operating loss at a group level, it was sitting at 3.8 billion. For both years. Just apologies, the 2021 was also a loss of 3.8. That should be reflected there in the brackets. And then the group, the cash, the loss that we have for the end of March 2022 is sitting at 0.9 billion. The previous year it was sitting at 1.3. And that included at the time the COVID allocation that PRASA had received. Ends the 1.3 that we see end of March 2021. Very quickly around the revenue, I've touched on some of these issues around the subsidy, but as you can see, the operational subsidy had dropped as there was no further COVID assistance received in 21-22. We did experience a slight increase in fair revenue of 165 million over this period, but it's still way below what we had experienced as a revenue before the lockdown period. You can clearly see on the graph on the right, if one looks at your revenue streams, starting with your fair revenue, you can see that in 2022, the blue bar, it has slightly increased, as well as on the operating lease income. And then the tall skyscraper on the right there, if I can put it that way, was around interest received on the capital that is within the PRASA account. At the moment, that is the high. At the moment, when one looks at the revenue, the unfortunate reading is that at the moment, interest on capital is currently the biggest source of revenue within PRASA. And we therefore demonstrate the urgency of bringing back the corridors, bringing back the trains across the country. On the expenditure, just very briefly, staff costs, which is consistent year on year, is certainly makes up the main expenditure within PRASA. You can see they're sitting just below 6 billion. Annum in terms of expenditure, we've got the rest in terms of the general expenditure across the business, looking at our security, municipal costs, energy, leasing, and so forth, as well as the insurance and health that we are paying. But clearly the wage bill at PRASA is the main expenditure in terms of at the group level. If we move to the balance sheet, this is just a snapshot of where we are in terms of PPE, the property, plant and equipment. We're looking at work in progress, the addition sitting at 7.2 billion. And what we had capitalized over that period was an amount of 5.7 billion. It also included the prepayment that we had of 7.4 billion to Gibela, that was on the new trains. And what we are sitting with in terms of cash and cash equivalents, that's a 24.6 billion in the account, predominantly our capex that we have not managed to execute over the past few years. And if one looks at the investment property in terms of value, it's sitting at approximately 4.4 billion. This is the final slide, Chair, and it speaks to the improvement in internal controls and processes. Also linked earlier to what we were mentioning around those root causes that we have picked up on the audit findings. This relates to asset management. And here very clearly the link between both our engineering disciplines as well as finance in terms of dealing with the asset management portfolio. We've made progress in ensuring the structures are in place. But critical to ensure that this is capacitated to undertake this work successfully in the year ahead. Work in progress, the WIP, there are still amounts that we need to ensure that we can capitalize, particularly around our signaling projects. There are quite a bit of work that needs to be done at a technical level for this to be capitalized, but that is ongoing with the engineering teams as we speak. Also on our group policies, across the board, be it the asset management, HCM policies that we are still finalizing, approving, many of those, as well as the standard operating procedures, which is approved at a management level, is ongoing as we speak. The one issue that's already also been dealt with is around accounting, the policy matters, particularly around the capital grants. There's the agreement between us as well as the AG on the treatment of capital grants. So that matter has been addressed. SEM, as I've touched on earlier, is a challenge within PRASA. So not only around ensuring the capacity issues are being addressed there, but the training and compliance within SEM is critical within PRASA to ensure that that we unlock the capital program in the main, as well as ensuring that the SEM function is fully capacitated and trained accordingly. As I've mentioned, the loss control process has been put in place within PRASA, but it's one of those areas also now that we have managed to ensure we can capacitate it. We've got a service provider on board appointed within the last month that will assist with some of the key functions within the loss control process. And then I've touched on earlier, Chair, shared with you some of the consequence management around the SIU. Beyond that, also disciplinary processes that active that is ongoing, albeit at a steady pace. That is certainly the message that is coming through around consequence management being implemented. Chair, I will leave it there. That is the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Acting Group CEO. Board Chairperson, anything you would like to conclude with before I invite the members to engage?
Honorable Chair, no. I will, as I promise, we will deal with the questions. I think that to cut the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Your reception, if you can move around where you are, Chair, is breaking. I don't know how you test it, if it's fine. But since your first introduction and now, there is a break in your messaging. But let's hope it will improve. Honorable members, there is a presentation by PRASA. And I would like to invite your hands to engage. We already have the first question, Chairperson and Acting Group CEO from Honorable Mabena. I hope you did catch it at the beginning of the meeting. And you will start there. Can I see by show of hands? I see Honorable Sithole. Any other hand, any other taker? Let's go to you, Honorable Sithole, followed by Honorable McDonald. Any other taker? Let's go, colleagues. Honorable Sithole, you may start.
Thank you, Honorable Mang. Chairperson, first of all, I'm trying to check from Honorable, from the board chairperson, because he was part parcel of the portfolio committee of transport. He know exactly what happened. So I'm trying to check, since he became a chairperson of the board. Is there any achievement? If he can just clarify, is there any achievement from what he experienced from when he was a member of the portfolio committee? And the other chairperson that I'm trying to check the program. Do they have any programs for the rain? From Kwesini to Jimiston, and from Springs to Jimiston, because some of the stations are being vandalized. So now I'm trying to check, did they have any programs to fix those vandalized stations? And the other chairperson that I'm trying to check, if they can give us, or if they can give me the details of the walling of the stations, how many stations are they targeted, and which, if they can give us the province, the walling of those stations, because you see the vandalism is actually very serious now. Is more than what we are expecting. So now, if they are not moving fast on this warning, it will be more affected to our financially discipline. And the other chairperson that I'm trying to check, the instability in the board, when are they going to fix it? Because it seems that the management, talking on the board, the management, there is no stability in the management, because most of most of the senior managers are not in the only acting and acting and acting. When are they going to fix that one? And the other one, I think the one other one, Chairperson, on financial position. I'm trying to check if they say 0.9 billion to 1.3 billion lost. What does that mean? If they can explain that one. And I'm trying to, the last one will be the consequence management issue, if they can give us what, because if you say you have 44 employees, which are supposed to be disciplined, but 11 have resigned. If you can follow the resignation of those 11 members, are they not implemented? Are they not implicated to corruption? If they are, what consequence management are they for them? Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you. Honourable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I do think that I should mention that this is not the first time the board has come to this portfolio committee. It's not a surprise that the presentation has to be done. I think in future, PRASA should seriously consider doing a dry run to make sure that when the presentation is presented, that they can do it without causing undue delay and havoc while we sit and wait for them to sort out their internal issues, Chairperson, through you. Chairperson, then, I don't even know what to say, Chairperson. I mean, we've met on the oversight and there were so many new security guards that's going to be deployed. There's so many new security companies. Every time the buzzword has now a new service provider has been appointed, a new service provider for this, a new service provider. Chairperson, the revenue. For fair revenue has gone down from 1.5 billion that was in our when we started getting into in this portfolio in the sixth parliament to something like 100 and something million rand, 165 million rand. Chairperson, somebody has to take responsibility. The person, there's no consequence management for the board. And the chairperson or the CEO or whoever removed the security guards and gave the instruction that all the security guards have to be removed when there's other mechanisms where they could have used to make sure that the assets is protected. I mean, yes, the station in Acacia Park right here. This literally been dragged away as we speak, brick by brick, Plaza Station, Acacia Park, yeah, Acacia Park. I regularly I drive down there and I find people stealing cables and I call the police to chase them away or come there. But it's not been repaired, firstly. And secondly, the ball has run down the hill and it's nothing's going to stop it. I'm very concerned, Chairperson. And then if you go to repairs and maintenance, I'm sure that's what the and dot, dot, dot means in the slide number 24 on expenditure. Chairperson, a company this size that only spends around, what's it, about 400 million on repairs and maintenance. If you don't look after your things and maintain, there's no ways you're going to make it. Honestly, I feel very sorry, but that if we don't maintain our things and the assets of PRASA, there's no use in building stations. It will just be a waste of money. Chairperson, that's my submissions and I humbly apologize. I feel a bit distraught with this presentation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, McDonald's. You can take a grandpa. If it will help you. Can I invite now Honorable Chabangu Makosini? Honorable Makhosini Shabangu, floor is yours. All right. When you are ready, you will indicate. I'm trying very hard. Your hand is up, but maybe you are battling to unmute. I'm not sure. But when you are ready, you will indicate, colleague. So, Chairperson and Group CEO, there it is. Okay. I see your face, but you are not your voice, Honorable Shabangu. Can you unmute? All right. Colleague, when you are ready, please indicate. I will give you a chance, but I cannot hear you at all. I could see your face, but the voice...
Can you hear me?
There we go. You are fine now. Go ahead. Yes, now I can hear you. Please go ahead.
I was just trying to reiterate the fact that most of my questions, if not all of them, can fit here. But moreover, I would like to emphasize the fact that my colleagues are correct. Prasa is taking us for a ride. Maybe it's because they are undermining the new acting chairperson. Really, what they did is unprofessional, and I think they must write a letter and apologize for what they did, because really it's very much unprofessional, because we are at work here. We are not playing. And Prasa is the most not performing entity in as far as but this department is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shabangu. Board Chair and Group Acting Group CEO, you will divide the questions amongst. Do we still have Prasa on the line?
Honorable Chair, we're still here. If I could just start, and then of course the acting group CEO will complete the list. First, let me apologize. I heard that Honorable Chair, that the presentation arrived today. Arrived today, but from our side, the presentation was sent to meet the required or to meet the time that has been requested. But we will find out, we will investigate that problem, if it has been a delay from where, because I mean, we must comply with Parliament process, including the time frame that has been provided for Prasa to submit their presentation. So for this today that we have heard, we apologize, but we will go into it to find out what actually happened. I heard that the presentation was sent on Sunday, but I will follow up on that, Honorable Chair. And of course, if we will write a letter as requested. And of course, I apologize where we are. Certainly, Honorable Makhosini, it is not how Prasa manage the parliamentary officer by not necessarily being professional. So apologize for that. Let me run quickly into Tolle's questions. The stations, the vandalized warning of station instability. I think the acting group CEO did report on the consequence management, which include 44 employees that were identified through the process of the AG. That process of consequence management has been carried out. The outstanding is where there is a DC that is ongoing with the with those other employees, but other workers just left have resigned. Instability of EXCO, the Plaza has in fact advertised positions that need to be filled for EXCO. That process is ongoing. I can confirm that, which includes, of course, the GCO, the group GCO position that we also advertise. The that instability very soon will be a matter of the past. The walling of stations and the walling of rail line, all of these, Honorable Chair, they are part of the program that we worked out. That is the program that deals with the issue of the walling and the corridor development or development of corridors. All of that, when we fix the corridor, we fix the corridors plus the stations that are in that particular corridor, so that the train can obviously stop at the various stations. This program is ongoing. The 10 corridors was mentioned earlier by the acting group CEO. Because we could not fix the corridors all in one, we had to work out the plan, a spread plan in terms of every year we will deal with the big corridors in terms of 10, the 10 number 10. We have 40 corridors or 46 corridors in order to get us there, because we don't have sufficient money to be able to fix the corridors all in one. So there is a program, walling program. There is also a walling program. The walling has been designed. You've seen the depot walling is already in been implemented. So at least we're making a progress on that. And then the next thing that away from, maybe if I dispense with Mr. Stolle about that, Honorable Stolle. Yes, if you look at what we have inherited in 2020 in terms of the vandalizations and damage to where we are at the moment, there is a progress that we are making, and there is achievement that we are getting in terms of slowly, because of capacity, resource capacity as well as human resource. So we have, in fact, we can report the strides that we have achieved certain things. When we arrived, maybe let me put it this way, during the period of Member of Parliament, as you were asking, we did not, I wasn't here, but obviously there was no vandalization of stations at the time. So we were confronted with the new problems that the station that has been vandalized. Honorable MacDonald, we apologize for the glitch that has happened in terms of it. And as I already indicated, we apologize for that, and we will obviously send the letter confirming that. The security, as you also mentioned, the security challenge. This question we dealt with before. Let me just for the completion say, the security that was fired or that was disengaged, it is before we arrived on the scene. That is the board, the previous board, that made a decision that given that AG South Africa has identified the problem of the irregularities in the security tender, and it is clear that those must be regularized. And of course, the board decided that they are going to end the security company tender. They did that without necessarily appointing or replacing the security with another security. The result of which is now what we have, the damage that we are suffering from that, because the issue of security should have been, when you replace a security, you replace a security with some other security, but you don't leave the place without security. So unfortunately that happened. So at the moment we're trying to fix that we have inherited. The revenue issue that I think Hisham can deal with, the revenue issues, including the there's 165 million that has been mentioned. So I think that it's something that the detail of it, if you don't have trains that run, if you don't have fares, people paying fares, because trains are not there, you are unable to generate any income. This is an issue that we are dealing with, particularly when we deal with all the 10 corridors. Those 10 corridors are in a sliding scale to be able to make sure that we are generating income as well, in terms of the, well, now Mabopane is generating income, and of course Pinas Port is going to be generating income because those are already recovered. We have securities at the stations that are deployed from time to time, and in fact the Acacia Park here, we will follow up on that, because I think the head of security has in fact worked out the integrated security plan, and which is what we are hoping that it will help us bring remedy onto the issue of vandalizing of the stations. So I think that maybe acting group, if you must have made a note, you can then take the rest, answers the questions. If I have left many, you can just finish it.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair and members, let me also just again apologize for the glitches that we had. It was not intentional. We've noted the comments and we will respond accordingly. Chair, just on the items that the Chair of PRASA that you've left for me to address, there was a question earlier, I think up front, by Honorable Mabena around a security-related question. The latest update we've got on that one, Honorable Mabena, is that there have been 3 employees identified that was involved in that process, as you were relating to. They have since been suspended. We are now got an independent investigator on board looking into that matter. Honorable Mabena, once we have got more information around the detail of that, we will be happy to share that. But in terms of progress, 3 employees that have been identified have been suspended. And once we get the outcome of the investigation, we will can share more detail with yourself and the committee on that aspect. Honorable Sithole, you were also asking about specific corridors, Kwesini, Germiston, Springs, Johannesburg, and they are certainly on the program. What I was covering in the main were 10 corridors. As our first round or the first phase that we are bringing back, those corridors that you are referring to is part of the subsequent phases of bringing back corridors. These corridors, we are already busy scoping the work that is required over and above the stations, as you've correctly pointed out. We also need to rehabilitate the electrical infrastructure. OHDE, as you've seen on some of the other photographs, has also been completely stripped. And in cases where we need to rebuild our substations, also have to happen on those specific corridors. But as we speak, these are the corridors that we also now busy scoping as part of the next phase of corridor recovery. And that's specifically for Gauteng, but also in other corridors across the country. We are following a similar process. Maybe just to add on to what the chair has said around the walling, Honorable Sithole, because you did ask the question specifically around stations. In the presentation, those high sites that I was referring to in the main were typically like your substations, your electrical substations, your signal relay cabins that we are busy currently walling. Just in the Mabopane corridor, there are approximately 30 sites that we are targeting that make up these substations and the signal relay rooms that we are dealing with. And this will be rolled out on other corridors as well. Now, over and above just these high-risk sites, as the chair indicated, there's also the walling of the corridor. And that will then include your actual stations, your passenger stations that would also have the necessary walling or fencing solution as part of that securitization. And initially, the focus was around Mabopane and Central Line, identifying what were the high-risk areas that we want to start with in terms of rolling out this walling. And that, Honorable Sithole, can be shared in more detail around at the corridor level, how we intend rolling that out. Honorable Sithole also asked the question around the issue of the 0.9 billion in terms of the loss. That in the main relates to if I can call it cash in hand, the cash loss that we've had within the account. The 3.8 that you saw there, the loss that we referred to, also includes, so for example, your impairment write-offs that we are dealing with. But the 0.9 billion is purely from a cash perspective where the loss has occurred. The 1.3 that we saw in the previous year, as I've indicated, that included at the time the COVID-related allocations that PRASA had received as part of that. Honorable MacDonald, you also asked and pointed out the issue around asset, the maintenance of, be it on the rolling stock or the infrastructure side, and you are correct in terms of ensuring that we do sustain, especially the infrastructure, existing infrastructure, and those that we have now rehabilitated, rebuilt to a large extent. Part of that is to ensure the full life cycle asset management of the infrastructure. The spend on maintenance, as you correctly point out, is on the low side. A lot of the focus that we've seen in the past year and the year going ahead has been on the capital rollout. And certainly the issue around the maintaining of this infrastructure is something that will be addressed going forward. You also asked the question around the revenue, the 165 million that was referred to in the presentation. And that certainly is not where we are looking at in terms of fair income. Just as I think a high level indication is before the lockdown 2018-2019, we were operating 40 corridors, rail services. As we speak, we are sitting at 14-15 corridors out of the 40, which is a fraction of the corridors that we need to bring back, and that directly translates to the fair income revenue. Even on these corridors that we have brought back, to a large extent, we are still running limited services until we've got the full signaling systems rolled out where we can run higher frequencies. So there's a period that we need to ramp up in terms of bringing back the service and the corridors to improve our revenue income related to fares. And then just finally, I think also ending off with the same point that I started with, Honorable Makosini, As you've indicated, we've noted the disappointment in terms of the earlier glitches, and we do apologize, Chair and honorable members. We will address that going forward. Chair, I think I've covered the remaining questions that were on the list. Thank you.
Thank you very much, I think Group CEO and Chairperson. Honorable members, that is it. And I think once more, as I said earlier, there is a need for us to look closer into PRASA as we have always prioritized it. The reflection by the AGSA on PRASA is something that I think as a committee we need to look into. So we will craft appropriate recommendations in terms of BRRR, but it shouldn't end there. We should see how best do we get close to this matter. On that note, I think let me thank the chair, the entire board that would have been in the meeting, and the executive team, and then we will therefore step down on PRASA and go straight into SAMHSA. I hope they are ready, Ms. Carlson.
I see the SAMHSA delegations in the meeting, and I've given Mr. Vusi September the permission to share, unless there's somebody else.
SAMHSA, you are welcome. Who is leading the delegation? Can we hear your voice and tell us who has the rights or who needs the rights so that we can go into your presentation?
Good afternoon, Chair. It's Ntata Minyuku, the chairperson of SAMHSA. Can we please give the hosting rights to Ms. Shalorn Muller? The company secretary, she'll be able to drive the pack. And then we do have our acting CEO, our head of corporate affairs and chief operations, our head of strategy, and our CFO as part of the delegation to engage with the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mem Inyoko. Would that be giving them the right to continue, or would you start introducing the presentation? I give it over to you. Until you are finished, we will then engage.
Thank you. So, thank you so much, Chair. I think I will make some opening remarks as part of, as the lead of the SAMHSA delegation. We last saw the portfolio committee about 2 years ago. And we've made some material moves in some of the areas of concern for the committee, primarily from the perspective of our audit status, which has now had 2 years of unqualified audits. We've also been on a good governance campaign, and I'm sure some of the committee members will want to engage us on the suspended executives and the outcomes of our forensic investigations, which have really been aimed at cleaning up governance and ensuring that we reset SAMHSA from a leadership and a governance perspective and address all allegations of malfeasance in a transparent way, but in compliance with the Labor Relations Act. There's a number of issues the team will raise around our new strategy to position SAMHSA and South Africa as a maritime, international maritime center. And we will also speak to any key operational issues that the committee would like to add. So, Chair, I am going to hand over at that point to the acting CEO, Ms. Zama Chonko, who will lead the delegation and direct the input from the SAMHSA perspective. Thank you, Chair.
Good. Good afternoon, Chair and the honorable members. I think I have already been introduced. My name is Zama Chonko, and I am the acting CEO of SAMHSA. I'm also going to just give a highlight of a high overview of the performance of SAMHSA as of the financial year 2022. I will then allow my team to be able to come through just to speak to the deep, or rather to the highlights that I have spoken to. Chair, if I can start with regards to the financial year ending 2022, SAMHSA reported a corporate performance.
CEO.
Yes.
Can
Chair.
We see your face?
Oh, I apologize.
Your face. Please, thank you.
Chair, I don't know if you can see me. The lighting is proper. Chair, I take it you can see me. With that said, I think I will then proceed. If we speak about the performance, the corporate performance of SAMHSA as at FY 2022, we obtained a 62%. This is a decrease if you're comparing it to what we had obtained in FY 2021, which we're sitting at about an 88% performance. The challenges that we have faced, Chair and members, is with regards to the strategic challenge number 6, which mostly speaks to KPI relating to finance. And I think as the team goes through the numbers, you would be able to see that SAMHSA continues to have or experience financial constraints. And this is as a result of the delayed approval of our tariffs. Chair, we have also faced, as I've spoken to the fact that we have also faced difficulties in terms of the approval of our tariffs, which we are highly dependent on. Previously, I think we had reported that 80% of our revenue comes from the SAMHSA levies, and therefore when we do not get the tariffs to be approved on time, we therefore struggle from a financial point of view. I can mention the fact that in the previous years when we have applied for this tariff, we were given an 8%, which was already approved late, and we're then provided with the 6% that we had to implement in FY 2022. And then in this current financial year, we had a 0% increase on our tariff, which has an implication on our finances. Chairperson, in the last meeting, and I think the chair has already mentioned it, SAMHSA had reported that they had obtained a qualified audit opinion, and the qualification paragraph was sitting on the...
Acting CEO, sorry again.
Yes, no.
We are still stuck on inspired to do more. I don't know if you have not started your presentation yet or what. There we go. Now the presentation is there.
Yes.
I kept quiet for some time thinking that my colleagues will jump, but yes, now there is a presentation. But do continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was just giving the highlights because my team will probably come in and give you just the detail in terms of the information that we have provided. I promise, Chair, I'm almost done with the highlights, right, and I will allow the team to then come through. Chairperson, in the last meeting that we had, we spoke to, I think Chair has already spoken to the fact that we had come through to report that we had a qualification. And the qualification paragraph spoke to the unknown deposits. I am pleased to inform you that for FY 2021 as well as FY 2022, SAMHSA has been able to report an unqualified audit opinion. And I think I must thank the management and the robustness of our board in terms of assisting us to be able to address the internal control deficiencies that we have had. There's still a lot of work, Chairperson, that we need to do in order to ensure that we are able to report an unqualified audit opinion with no findings, and that would be a clean audit opinion. I can promise you that the team that we have at SAMHSA is working hard to ensure that in the next financial years, we are able to report an unqualified audit opinion with no audit findings. Chair, I'm also pleased to inform you that in FY 2022, SAMHSA has been able to report 2 vessels on the South African flag. This is something that is very important to South Africa, and we always want to ensure that we are able to record as much vessels on our flag. However, it also comes with concerns that are being raised by the ship owners with regards to our requirements on the registration of the of their vessels on our flag. We are working with the DOT led by the DM in terms of being able to report to resolve some of the challenges that they have raised, but also to ensure that our South African flagship remains attractive. We're speaking to our mandate chair, which is to ensure safety of life. Chair, I am also pleased to inform you that working with our team, we've been able to meet all of our KPIs and our partners. We've been able to meet all of our KPIs, ensuring that we are able to meet this mandate. We remain committed to creating jobs and opportunities within the maritime industry. And I am also pleased to inform you that in FY 2022, we were able to report more than 100 jobs within the maritime industry. Chair, after I have mentioned the highlights of things that have happened within SAMHSA, we remain with challenges, and the team will also go through that. One of the challenges is that we still do not have a permanently appointed CEO. I've spoken to the challenges that we have in terms of the processes and the delays that we have in the approval of our tariffs, and also the decision on the sale of the Agalis. Those are some of the challenges that we have, Chair. I will now then pass over to Mr. Walter Simakane to then take you through, Chair, in detail to the presentation that we have prepared for you as well as the members. I thank you.
Afternoon, Chair. Afternoon, honorable members of Parliament. Thank you, CEO. I think I'll just be able to take you through in terms of who is SAMHSA. And I know we've been presenting for a couple of years, but I think it's important that from a South African maritime strategic agenda, we also keep on retaliating. We also keep on emphasizing who is SAMHSA. We'll also be able to take you through the journey, what we want to be able to do for the country. SAMHSA is a small entity established in 1998. Through an Act of Parliament, we're given three main responsibilities.
See the face of the presenter. And any other presenter who will be presenting, it is an expectation that we see your face. Where that could be affecting your bandwidth, you will indicate and we will grant you permission, or we might deny you permission to remove your face. The program is being streamed, so it's very important we know who we are talking to.
Thank you, Chair. I turned on my video just to confirm if you're able to see me. I'm looking straight into the camera.
I'm not seeing it. I don't know if my colleagues are seeing it. Okay, I can see you now. You can continue. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chef. So in terms of the mandate obligation, we're given obligation to be able to ensure safety of life and property at sea, to be able to ensure that on behalf of the country, we prevent and combat pollution, especially from all the vessels that will be visiting the country, as well as the vessels that are within our inland waterways, and also to be able to ensure, considering I think where we are as a country, we want we are actually the agent that has been given the authority to be able to ensure that we promote the maritime interest. And I think this is really a huge responsibility, where we need to be able to ensure that we create jobs, where we need to be able to ensure that there is total maritime contribution to the GDP growth of the country. We also, the custodianship in terms of inland waterway safety, as well as marine domain awareness. And in terms of our responsibility, we've been given the responsibility for us to be able to manage 3,000 kilometers of the coastline. We're also in charge of 9 commercial ports working hand in hand with TNPA, in charge of a huge search and rescue area as well. Also, I think going back in terms of the South African economy, one of the key things for maritime is that 90% of the trade actually happens at sea. And you see, I think with the exports and the imports, just under 12,000 ships that we visit our port, and we actually ensure the safety of that maritime trade. We also cast ownership in terms of 240,000 seafarers on board. So I think you can be able to see that we have a huge responsibility for such a small entity. And where is it that we want to be able to take maritime on behalf of the country? We want to be able to ensure that by 2030, we are championing the African maritime ambitions. We are actually championing the country's maritime ambitions. And I think we'll be able to do this through the element of safety, environmental protection, as well as ensuring that we have a vibrant maritime economy. I think we have gone and adopted certain values to be able to ensure that. On to the next slide, Chair, and I think which is also important for us to be able to sell our strategy journey to you on behalf of the on behalf of the entities. We want to be able to ensure that there is total maritime awareness across the rest of the country, because the moment you talk of maritime, everybody needs to be able to understand the opportunities that exist. How can we be able to actually be able to participate into the industry? And one of the main things for us to be able to ensure that there is a maritime industry growth. And currently, I think in 2014 up to 2019, there was an analysis that was done in terms of the current contribution, which is sitting at 4.5%. And we are coordinating, implementing a couple of initiatives to ensure that by 2030, at least there's huge contribution, so that at least we'll be able to achieve the 19% maritime contribution to the GDP. And some of the challenges that we already have encountered in our studies, Jane, I think the CEO has talked to them, that, in detail, we have had challenges in terms of the legislation and the regulation, and we're working hand in hand with our stakeholders as well as our shareholders to be able to ensure that all of those bottlenecks are actually assessed. We have had challenges in terms of easiness of doing business, and I think already in terms of some of the benchmark reports, a lot of business have come back to be able to indicate to us that the cost of doing business in the country is relatively high. And in terms of that analysis, again, what you made for us is, I think we are paying at least 10 cents more for each and every of the commodities that's coming in. And we're really looking at to be able to say what kind of initiative we can be able to implement, be able to ensure that we have a reduction in terms of that additional 10 cents that we have. And I think also another issue is there is a lot of disfranchisation in terms of how government are working. So what we are doing is to be able to ensure that we put together correct strategic partnership and leverages as well as key program to be able to ensure that we'll be able to achieve this mammoth task. But also one of the key things, and which is part of the radical economic transformation, is we want to be able to transform our maritime industry. We are looking at putting together a certain specific maritime code, and that will be able to assist us. And from an entity perspective, in this financial year, one of the key things what we have identified is putting together a maritime transformation strategy and plan working with the Department of Transport. So, Chair, so that's the maritime obligation that we have. If you go on to the next slide, Shalom. In terms of our governance, you might have seen, I think, our chair presented there, giving the opening remarks. Chair, we have a fully constituted board, and I think we're actually proud to be able to say we're actually one of the key models in terms of we have three females as part of our as part of board members. So we actually have 60% a representation in terms from a gender perspective. I think most of the key issues in terms of the corporate performance, the CEO has touched based on it. I think the main thing I just want to be able to add there is we were able to, despite the challenges we had of COVID and the impact it had on the industry, we were able to be able to achieve at least 132 permanent jobs. These are permanent jobs. And in terms of the multiplier effect, this one, they have a multiplier effect of more than 7. And on average, these jobs are able to be able to generate. I think if you're looking in terms of the average income, we're looking at beyond, I think, 400,000 and 500,000. And if you're able to be able to bring that 7 multiplier effect, you can be able to see that this is one of the good achievements that we've done for the last financial year. And then in terms of our governance, we have seen that there's been a 100% reduction in fruitless and wasteful expenditure in terms of some of the key action plans that we implemented, 75% reduction in regular expenditure. And also we have gone and established and ensured that we maintain the social and ethical committee that meet quarterly to be able to address the key emerging risks. Also, what we want to be able to highlight is there has been a key initiative that we started in 2016. Since 2016, we've been able to create about 288 jobs in the bunkering space in Port Elizabeth, Agua Bay there. And we know on a monthly basis, the three operators have the capacity to be able to do, I think, above more than 100 million each and every month. And this is an initiative that was never there before 2016. And we want to be able to ensure going forward, more industry players are brought in to be able to ensure that the ripple effects on the economy is not fully reached. Also last year, we went and assisted small scale officials under a sunset incubation program. At least, I think in Eastern Cape, 110 fishers were assisted. KZN also 110 fishers were actually assisted. Chair, on the financial status, I think most of the issues were already raised and touched by the CEO. I think for the first time in the last three financial years, SAMHSA can be able to come back and be able to report that we had a net profit of 32.1. I think last year was actually a deficit. This is as a result of a couple of cost-saving initiatives that we implemented. Revenue for the period increased by 9%. Again, this was also mainly due to the increase that we received from the SAMHSA levy. But one of the key emerging trends when it comes to the revenue on the key drivers, we have noted a huge reduction. I think we're sitting at 18 to 14% in terms of the shipping volumes. And I think this is mainly due to the impact of COVID-19 as well as the Russian-Ukraine war. Again, another key thing I think that we've been able to study from a SAMHSA perspective in the last financial year, there's been a SAMHSA case position. We've been able to improve our case position and now improved to 58.7 million. I can go into the next slide. Again, I think the overall liquidity of the entity is actually hugely improved. Go to the next slide. You can see from a balance sheet perspective, our net assets, there has been a huge increase, 46.6%. We're now sitting at a huge investment done. Now we're sitting at almost 108.8. On to the next slide. Financial challenges. We did request, Chair, I think one of the key financial strategic challenge that we encountered is the way we are actually funded. Because I think for us to be able to get a tariff increase, unlike other public entities, we have to go through the Department of Transport, we have to go through National Treasury, even if we might have an agreement with our stakeholders, but we need to be able to get consent from those two ministries. And we found that in the last financial year, we're not able to get a tariff increase despite our agreement with the shipping community. And I think from a stakeholder engagement is something that we're working with the Department of Transport, as well as with something that I think in terms of the regulation that we want to be able to go and table as the Department of Transport, to be able to see if we can be able to put together or have an improvement into the process itself. I'd already touched on the volumes.
Mr. Sikamakani?
Yes, Chair?
just try and be stable. When you said yes, Chair, you were very clear about all other times we keep on losing you a bit. I think it's just a positioning issue, if you would please, and continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the other revenue streams, we also fund it through the direct user charges. So this is basically the fees that we charge to the public. And because we actually have a shortage of surveyors, in some of the instances, we're not able to actually meet our targets. And I think it's something that we are looking at in terms to be able to see how we can be able to add on onto the number of surveyors so that at least we're going to be able to, so that at least as much as they're going to continue doing the safety aspect, but they can also be able to contribute to the revenue side. Another challenge that we have also encountered is currently, from a SCAMSA perspective, we are operating a training vessel, SA Agalas, and this training vessel is not, from a funding perspective, is not funded. So we have tried and engaged with the board is actually going to engage with the ministry. We want to be able to, I think we've explored a couple of options, and at this instance, the main option is for us to be able to go and be able to dispose that vessel. But we are not disposing the vessel without ensuring or reinforcing some of the benefits that actually needs to come with that vessel. For example, in terms of the training, in terms of the sea time that is actually required by the different cadets. Another issue has been, as much as we've gone and implemented the cost containment, the way SAMHSA is funded currently, I think we have gone and done a business case. SAMHSA currently, I think there is a funding deficiency close to about 5.5 billion. So we are also implementing a business case with our stakeholder to be able to ensure that going forward, SAMHSA is actually properly funded. On to the next slide. In terms of the solutions, what we are implementing, as much as we have realized we have the challenges, but we already have a couple of solutions. We have requested 11% tariff increase from National Treasury. We have gone and identified new revenue streams in a VGM as well as ship-to-ship transfer, the disposal of the SA Agalas, moving from the conventional way of working to working from home. I think there'll be a couple of cost savings, continuing with the cost containment measures, review of the SAMHSA levies regulation. I think that is going to be able to assist us to be able to generate more than 20 to 24 million per annum, and that's money we can be able to be able to plug back into the business to be able to ensure that we continuously implement our mandate. Currently, I think in terms of when we introduced the bunkering, we're offering 75% discounts as an incentive, and the entity have realized that I think that industry is stabilized, so we are looking and conducting a study and having, I think, corrective action how we can be able to be able to adjust in terms of that bunkering. On the audit, I think we have heard from the chair and the acting CEO for the last 2 years, we have had unqualified audits on the financial as well as on the performance information. And I think continuously this has been through. I think we have implemented an audit action plan. So at this stage, we have gone and addressed 57% of those findings. But again, I think working together with the other combined assurers will be, I think we're on track for us to be able to address the gap of the 43%. I think most of the issue, Chair, we have already touched base on in terms of reduction of fruitless wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. And what we have also done has been the condemnment of the previous year irregular expenditure for National Treasury. That has been done. Chair, our last slide. What are those key strategic challenges that we keep on encountering? The first one has to be the funding issue. SAMHSA is a huge responsibility. We have certain responsibilities that are not funded, unfunded mandate. We have certain responsibilities that are underfunded. we don't have the entire capacity for us to be able to respond to the risk, to the maritime risk profile that we require. And the corrective action is for us to continue implementing the maritime risk workshop business case. We have a challenge in terms of outdated legislation as well as regulation. A couple of regulations that would require prioritization as well as sign-off from our shareholder. And the funding of the galleys, and I think the final issue has to be the slow transformation of the maritime industry where we have gone and adopted a transformation strategy. Chair and the other members, thank you. I think that's our presentation.
Thank you very much. Chair of the board, is that it from your side?
Yes, Chair and members of the portfolio committee, that's our presentation and we're ready to engage with any questions.
Thank you very much. Appreciated. Colleagues, that is the presentation from SAMHSA. I would at this moment invite any questions or engagement on the presentation. It was Gordon Bonda. I note Honorable Ketama Bala Sithole. You can shoot while we wait for other colleagues if there are any. Go ahead, Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, I want to thank you the Samsung for their presentation. But when the Chairperson presented, she said they got qualified audit report, but the report says it is unqualified report. So I'm trying to check which is which. And then the other Chairperson that I'm trying to check, as their presentation, there is a sentence saying shortage of surveyors resulted on the port state control inspections being well below accepted levels. I'm trying to check what does that mean and if they can clarify on that one, because if they say they were the inspections being well below accepted levels, it means the impact of that sometimes can raise some questions. And the other one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check with them, Chairperson, is the CEO, because according to what to the report of the Auditor General of South Africa, they have acting CEO. When are they going to fill up that vacancy of CEO? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sithole. Let's hand back to the Chairperson of the Board in the absence of other hands to tackle those questions.
Thank you, Honorable Sithole. I will respond to the question about the audit status. I did say in the beginning of the introductory remarks that we've had 2 years of unqualified audits. Despite the previous few years all being qualified audits, I apologize if I was misheard, but I did refer to unqualified audits. I want to also respond to the CEO recruitment issue, and then I'll hand over to the acting CEO to respond around the shortage of surveyors and the capacity constraints we face, and what benchmarking has been done to determine the capacity requirements we have. In terms of the CEO recruitment, Honorable Sithole and the Portfolio Committee, The SAMHSA board has made a recommendation to the Minister of Finance, I mean, Minister of Transport for a CEO. That recommendation was provided in December 2021. We, however, cannot appoint a CEO. The recommended individual has to be supported and endorsed by the minister and then approved by cabinet. To date, we have not received a response back from the ministry, and we are awaiting feedback on our recommended candidate that we provided to the ministry in December of 2021. So we are not in a position where we can directly appoint. We are in a position where we make a recommendation, and then we are subject to decisions and timelines that sit at an executive authority and cabinet level. Can I ask the acting CEO if she may respond to the capacity constraints around surveyors and what benchmarking we have done to determine what we need in terms of port state control activities and what we need to get that to acceptable levels. This matter is, of course, directly related to our current financial constraints and inability to resource the full set of capabilities and skills we need in order to implement our port state requirements. And this is precisely why we have spoken to some of the enablers that we are looking at within our control, but some of the support that we are getting through the ministry in terms of getting to financial sustainability and tariffs that are reflective of the cost of doing business. So I will hand over to the acting CEO to finalize the commentary on the surveyor matter.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know whether the first question, Chair, was addressed with regards to the misunderstanding on the qualified audit opinion. If we should just clear that, or you've addressed it already in your response. All right. Chair, if I can then just respond to the port state control offices. Currently, SAMHSA has 15. So that statement that we are making there is that if you look at the amount of work that we are required to do versus the number of resources that we have, we are unable to meet the demand. So in terms of the number of port state office, control offices that we're currently making use of, which are external parties, is about 250. So to basically deal with the mandate that we have or fully implement the mandate that we have, considering the fact that we've also got the additional mandate to speak to inland waters, we are looking at the need of about 300 resources that would be able to assist us to be able to fully implement on this strategy. Thank you.
Are you fine, Chairperson, or you want to make some further comments? It looks like
you are fine.
All right. Thank you. I thought the Agalas had left court with you, and we lost the reception. Colleagues, that is it. I don't seem to have any other hands. I suspect the day has been long, given that we have not had so many presentations in a long time. Let me welcome the Honorable, the Deputy Minister of Transport. Deputy Minister, good to see your hands.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Members, Chairperson of the Board, Acting CEO, and the Senior Managers from SAMHSA. I've also seen the DG Madea, and I want to believe the team from Maritime Branch in the Department of Transport. Maybe on the issue of SA Agalas, we do have possible solutions that I think we will have to discuss and take it forward together with the board, working with the branch. Since it has been a challenge over some time, there are offers that are there that are very attractive that can actually help solve this problem. So yes, there are possible solutions, but I want to say that. And then the issue of the CEO, there are processes that need to be followed. However, there are some challenges, as the chairperson has indicated, there are some challenges that actually have delayed the processing of what the chairperson is referring to. Once those processes are finalized, in even between the department and the board itself, then of course the minister will be able to either say, I take your recommendation, or please start the process afresh. But there are some serious issues that we are dealing with, which makes it impossible for us to either confirm or to say this is the way forward. And I think those will be outlined maybe in the near future between ourselves and Samsung. But I want to thank you, Chair, for the report, but also Samsung for creating jobs. Maybe I just also want to say something about the tax regime that we have, that the acting CEO referred to, that is in a way a hindrance in shipping companies wanting to register in South Africa. We definitely are in interaction with National Treasury, SARS and everybody. We believe that South Africa would actually have more opportunities if it was to allow vessels to register in South Africa and be exempted, particularly in VAT, because even now there's nothing that it is getting, but we are not for now in agreement with the National Treasury, the customs, in fact, the SARS and so on. But it's a matter that we are pursuing and we are hoping that it's going to be resolved. But I thank you very much, Chair. That is my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. We appreciate hearing your input. Colleagues, that brings us to the last presentation of the day. As I said, it might have been a very long day after a very long time. If Deputy Minister, you would lower your hand, please. It might have been a long day, colleagues, but I think we have soldiered on. I will remind colleagues that tomorrow, wherever you will be, those who will be attending the maritime conference, please remember that at 1600 hours, we have got a continuation of our process that we are undertaking currently. And please make sure that you make the necessary arrangements such that we are able to connect and not frustrate the work of Parliament and the committee. We have a commitment to conclude our BRRR, which is critically linked to the process we are doing by next week. That is the only thing I wanted to say, but I will check with Ms. Carlse if there are any other announcements or things that we need to bring to the committee's attention.
Mr. Mangla, there's just the one issue that you also agreed to regarding tomorrow's lineup with the aviation entities that AXA requested to have the last session. So Ms. Mpondo agreed to speak to the entities so that tomorrow's session will end with AXA and it will start with SACAR followed by AT&S, then AXA.
We lost you there, or I lost you.
I think my reception is just a little bit poor. Just to say that there will be an agenda change in terms of tomorrow's lineup, but I will send the amended agenda to members to indicate that the AXA presentation will be the last one for tomorrow afternoon, starting with SACA, AT&S, then AXA.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's it from your side. Colleagues, thank you very much to all those entities, the AGSA, the department and its staff. Appreciate your patience and indulgence with us. We will meet tomorrow at 1600 hours. The meeting stands adjourned.